All right, will you please take your Bibles with me this morning and open them to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus 20. Just verse number 7 this morning as we look at the third commandment to not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, only God would know for sure. But I suspect that this commandment is explicitly and intentionally broken more than any other commandment, especially in our time. And we, as God's own people, are not exempt from the sin of taking His name in vain. This commandment, in fact, along with the other nine, were given specifically to God's people, not the unbelieving world. So it has tremendous relevance and continued application in our culture and our time today. So let's read verse number 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Our Father, we ask you to expound to us this morning, illuminate the meaning of this verse, first to its original hearers, also to us and its application to our lives. Give us ears to hear your Spirit this morning through your word. In Christ's name we ask, amen. And most parents think very carefully about the names that they give their children. Some choose names that are based on certain popularity, you know, whatever's being kind of used right now. Some actually go the opposite direction and choose names that are not being used very much right now. Or maybe some choose names based on the sound of a name. Some choose a certain name because they want to honor a family member or other special person in their life. My wife and I all gave our children names that had special meaning to us. And I am sure that you could all share your own stories about how certain names have special meaning in your life, or perhaps to the life of your parents. And no doubt there have been names that you've heard and thought to yourself, what were their parents thinking? A couple of the more unique names that I've heard in recent years actually belong to players in the NFL, the National Football League. Let me give you a couple of them. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. He's actually on my fantasy team, Vaughn. Expecting good things from him today. Chicago Bears safety, ha-ha Clinton Dix. No joke, okay? Juju Smith-Schuster, ha-ha Clinton Dix are probably two of the most unique names I've ever heard. I love them. Those are great, great names, great names. No one likes their name to be mocked or disrespected. And chances are, most of us don't even like our names to be misspelled. But there is a name which requires special attention and reverence. And that is God's name. And in our text today sits the command to keep God's name holy. Now that's what it means. What holy means is to keep it separate, to keep it other. It's different, it's other, it's separate, it's not like anything else. The first commandment represents God's concern for his people's undivided allegiance and devotion. The second commandment demands that we do not rob God of his glory through idolatry. And the third commandment represents God's concern for his great name. In the New Testament, we see this concern repeated when Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The very first thing Jesus teaches us to pray when we pray is that God's name would be kept holy. In John 12:28, Jesus himself prays, "Father, glorify your name." Now, the question before us this morning is, why such concern for a name? Why such a big deal over a name? I mean, certainly you and I don't appreciate our names being disrespected, but what is different about God's name? That one of the foundational covenant laws would be that his name be kept holy and sacred on the lips and in the lives of his people. Let's look at this verse together and note two simple but clear truths that help us answer that question. The first is that God's name is holy, so we must reverence it. In the Bible, names were much more significant than they are today. The theologian J.I. Packer comments that, quote, in the modern world, a person's name is merely an identifying label, like a number which can be changed without loss. Bible names, however, have their background in the widespread tradition that personal names give information describing in some way who people are. Adam named his wife Eve. Why? Because Eve means living, and she was the mother of all human life. God changed Abram's name. Abram means exalted father. He changed it to Abraham, which means father of a multitude, because he was the father of the nation of Israel, of ethnic Israel, and all of those who would turn to Israel's God in faith. In Scripture, we see meaningful names that actually reflect something of the individual's character, and God's name reflects his character. In fact, God's name is his self-revelation of all that he is. His name is directly connected to his person, his presence, and power, and his people must not use it in a way that disconnects his glory from his name. If you take your Bibles, please turn a few chapters down to Exodus 33. And let's look at a few verses here. Exodus 33, let's begin with verse number 18. Moses said, he's speaking to God here. He said, please show me your glory. And he said, this is God speaking back, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now look down to chapter 34. This is the same scene. Look at verse 5. Chapter 34, verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed what? The name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So in this scene where Moses asks to see God's glory, what does God do? He proclaims his name. The divine name that God revealed to Moses earlier was Yahweh, the Lord. Exodus 3:13 says, Moses said to God, this is when Moses was at the burning bush, he said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he says, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. God's name is the revelation of His glory, His character, His nature. Everything the Bible says about God's name, it says about God. All of His attributes of self-existence, His sovereignty, His immutability. It's a fancy word for meaning that He is unchangeable. His perfections, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence, they are all tied to His name, the Lord. Now, the same is not true for us. I am more than my name. You are more than your name. I could change my name. You could change your name, and we would still be the same people, but not with God. God is His name. He is I Am. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord. He is the one true and living God, and there is no other. So to treat then the name of God with irreverence is not only to diminish the glory of God, but to assault the very person of God Himself. And so the command to reverence His name here in verse 7 is the command to reverence Him. So then, what exactly then does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain? How would you answer that question if someone asked you, what does it mean to take God's name in vain? I think for most of us, our minds would immediately go to the use of God with some profanity, like we hear on TV or in the movies, or perhaps something we hear, some curse word we hear at the water cooler at work or in the classroom. I had a professor, history professor, in fact, at the University of South Carolina, who frequently combined the name of God with a curse word during his class lectures. But there is much more to taking God's name in vain than just the use of a curse word. That word which we think of when you hear take God's name in vain didn't even exist in Exodus 20, verse 7. Okay? The word vain here in verse 7 means worthless, empty, of no value or false. So to take God's name in vain then means to attach His name to something that is worthless, to something that is empty, that has no value or is false. I want to suggest some specific ways that we can take God's name in vain, both in the way that we speak, right, with our lips, and in the way that we live, right? Number one, we take God's name in vain when it is used in common, everyday, casual language. This includes any use of God, any of God's name for that, names for that matter, in expressions of surprise or frustration. And young people, when you text OMG, you are taking God's name in vain. And let me caution you here about saying, well, yeah, but I mean, oh my gosh. Let me caution you here about gosh. Because let's be honest. Gosh is a euphemism or a replacement, less offensive word for God. That's how we use it. And the intent is still the same. Number two, when God's name is used in profanity, as I've already mentioned, then we are taking His name in vain. This should be a no-brainer, church. But no Christian should ever combine God's name, I'm speaking in terms of umbrella here, any name of God should never be combined with a curse word. Number three, when God's name is used carelessly to swear an oath, then we are taking his name in vain. How many times are we cautioned in the New Testament on the use of oaths? Jesus said in Matthew 5, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. There's no need to swear by God, who is the creator of the universe, or by heaven, or by anything in the heavens, or anything in the earth, because God owns it all. He created it all. So to swear by anything lesser than God is still to swear by God. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 5. This is taking his name in vain. Number four, when we use God's name in a way so that it becomes commonplace on our lips, and we use it in ways that are unrelated to his person and to his work, then we are taking his name in vain. This means that when we go up and we say harmless, clean jokes about God, think about what we're doing. We are using not only the creator of the universe, we're using his name in something that's supposed to be funny? A joke? This is the vain use of his holy name. It is attaching his name to something that is empty, is worthless. And fifthly, all of these apply equally to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is blasphemed just as frequently as God's name is. I cannot tell you how it sends a wave of anxiety over me when I'm in the grocery store and I hear people talking in the line. And I hear them using God's name in disrespectful, vain ways. But we do not only take God's name in vain with our lips. We take his name in vain with our lives. When we say that we love God, but we don't live like we do. We profane his name with our lives. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, "The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." You see? If we profess to belong to the Lord but live in a way that brings disrepute to his name, then we are taking his name in vain. It should grieve every true believer when we hear of Christian leaders, or even Christians in general, whose secret sins are exposed because the holy name of God is blasphemed among the heathen. Romans chapter 2, Paul says that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Why? Because of the hypocrisy of the Jews, who were judging the Gentiles, and they were guilty of the very same things. Hypocrisy is taking the name of the Lord our God in vain, because it causes his name to be blasphemed. We do the same thing today when we profess to be Christians, but are rude at the grocery store. We're rude at the restaurant. We've been vindictive toward our neighbors, or dishonest at work, or live one way at school or around our peers or friends, and then we live another way at home or at church. This brings great shame on the name of Jesus. And it should grieve us to know that we do this with the way that we live. God's name is holy, and so we should reverence it with our lips and with our lives. The second truth that we see here in Exodus 20, verse 7, is that God's name is holy and he will defend it. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I remember once as a teenager, we hadn't been saved very long. We hadn't been Christians very long. And I heard my dad, who was a Christian, in a moment of intense anger. I remember where he was. I don't remember what he was mad about, but I remember where he was. And then in this moment of anger, he used God's name in a curse word. The Christian. We need to remember that Christians can do some very bad things. And I remember him going into what seemed almost like a depressive state for about a week. Something was wrong with him. He later said that for the entire week, he felt the chastening hand of God on his life for deliberately using his name in vain. Now, my dad, I wish you could have known him. He had a tendency to be quite eccentric at times, and he said, quote, God almost killed me, end quote. Now, I don't know if God almost killed him or not, but whatever he felt, it was serious. Because blasphemy against God's name is serious. It is so serious that the old covenant penalty for profaning God's name was, in fact, death. Listen to this from Leviticus 24. Now an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel, and the Israelite's woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. So there was a fight. What do men do when they fight? There's usually some curse words in there somewhere, some not just profanity, but just actual curses. Certainly in the case here, the Israelite's woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp, and the Israelite's woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. Now, we're not talking about him using English curse words. He cursed, he called down curses, perhaps in the name of God. And in the Leviticus, in the text in Leviticus 24, the word name is capitalized, the name. He blasphemed the name. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shilamith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan, and they put him in custody till the will of the Lord should be clear to them. Verse 13 of Leviticus 24, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. The sojourner as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. Now, immediately, probably some of you are protesting in your mind, yes, but that's Leviticus. And this, brothers and sisters, is a big part of our problem in America today. Instead of seeing the continuing relevance of a passage like this, we immediately want to dismiss it as something that belongs to a time far away, to a people far away. God's name is holy. Those who blasphemed his name were put to death. Now, aren't you thankful Aren't we all thankful this morning that we aren't under the old covenant anymore? Because this passage makes it clear that it doesn't matter if you were a member of ethnic Israel. It didn't matter if you were an outsider. If you blasphemed God's name, you were to be put to death. God will defend His name. He will vindicate His name. And the only reason that we aren't any longer put to death for profaning God's name is because Jesus was put to death in our place. Think about this. The Son of God was crucified for sin. We speak of sin in generic terms, but there were blasphemies of His Father's holy name laid upon His shoulders as He hung on that cross. This is why we aren't taken outside of the camp and stoned to death anymore, because Jesus was killed in our place. He was our substitute. You think I'm making this up? Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, here we go. God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the what? The name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To what? To the glory of God the Father. You see, the redemptive work of Christ in His humiliation, His incarnation, His perfect obedience, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension. This entire redemptive work is the ultimate vindication of God's great name, because He has bestowed it upon His Son, to whom every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God's name will be glorified in His Son. Every tongue that has ever uttered a profanity, a blasphemy against God's holy name, will confess His Son as Lord. This passage in Philippians 2 is a beautiful description of the gospel for believing sinners, but an equally terrifying promise to the unrepentant wicked. Either we confess His name now in mercy and grace, or we bow to His lordship later in justice and wrath. Either way, God's name will be glorified in His Son, and every tongue will confess to His lordship. I make this appeal to every one of us this morning, especially our young people who are growing up in a culture where God's name is not hallowed. We hear His name profaned all the time in our culture. In the parking lot, playing basketball, in the park, in the classroom. Every blasphemer will face the God whose name they curse one day. So let us turn to Christ now for the forgiveness of sins and pray that God would give us a zeal. We need this. We need to pray, every one of us, that God would give us a zeal to cultivate a special reverence for His holy name. His name is not like ours. His name is above every name. Let's pray.